Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Great, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Here is one good offensive play from Week 11's Patriots-Eagles game.
Edelman motions into the basket, then motions out the right. Wade throws to Rosaletto. Edelman's looking to throw, under pressure, to the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Oh, razzle dazzle, baby.
Here are three good defensive plays that made Scott Zolak make weird noises with his mouth.
Wentz takes the snap. Patriots send an extra rusher. Picked up before Roberts gets to the quarterback. And a second defender piles on. Patriots with a sack inside the 15.
Weird noises, noises.
To the quarterback. Wentz takes the snap against a four-man rush with a twist up front. He pumps and he spins with the ball. Not pushed by Shelton. Fumble on the turf. Patriots try to recover. They do. Lawrence Guy. Scatters to the left of Wentz. Patriots are going to send the blitz. Wentz off the back foot, throws to the end zone for Aguilar. He's open. Whoa, back in the end zone. Can't hold on.
And that about does it.
He won the game in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. Lost my headphones.
Do you keep them here at the station or do you bring them with you?
No, I bring them with me. Do you think someone stole them?
Well, you bring them with you?
I like bring them in a bag. My big work bag that so far just has cashews in it.
I'm not sure. But so you bring them home, you don't leave them here?
Yes, I bring them home.
Oh, okay.
And I brought them home on Friday, so they might be somewhere. But do you think if they were sitting here, someone would take them?
They would probably have used them and placed them someplace nowhere near the studio.
Because that's pretty gross. Yeah. I mean, you don't know if I have the AIDS or something.
But you don't have the inner ear ones like I do. That's the ones where you got to...
That's what I do from now on.
Yeah.
And you don't want to share earbuds.
No.
That's gross.
No.
Like, I've shared deodorant with, like, your wife or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, earbuds?
You know what I'll tell you is that the women's deodorant, way better.
Oh, way better.
Lasts longer. Has a nice smell to it. Yeah. Nice fragrance.
Strong enough for a man. Made for a woman.
There's nothing wrong with that. For some reason, my wife finds that disgusting if I do that. She does not like that. And I say, woman, I'm all up in that thing constantly.
But you got to make sure there's no hairs on there.
If the cozy calendar says so.
She won't know.
Oh, she doesn't shave her pits. I mean, that's a crapshoot. No, she's a hippie. She ain't shaving no pits.
there's certain brands that I'm not allowed to buy because they smell disgusting, according to my wife. So I had to get this one that was like scentless. Like I was using scentless ones, but for some reason she could smell them. I was like, that's no more.
And you get the natural ones because apparently they're great.
Random story, the clear kinds, you know, like you get like a clear deodorant.
Yeah.
It actually leaves a stain. And one time, like I went to the doctor, I had this like weird thing on there.
On your skin? And, like it stains your skin?
This certain brand was doing it to many people.
It
wasn't
the
just
one
me.
That has holes in it that like makes like a liquid.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
And I went to the doctor and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And he's like, you can't use this. And come to find out, many people were having an issue with this certain brand. And
Justin Bieber has a brand of a natural deodorant.
It's called Summer's Eve.
No, that's a douche. No, he's got this. And natural deodorant is not good. That's not something that you need in your life. Now, I noticed that you have your Kowloon hat on today.
That's right.
How'd you do yesterday? How'd you do?
How'd you do yesterday? 7-2.
I was 7-2 yesterday?
For the whole weekend. We went undefeated yesterday.
Yeah, Bankroll Boys killed it. I was following you guys. You guys were due. It's about time. I'm glad for you guys.
Oh, yeah. We had to switch things up this week.
So. No, so 7-2.
Yeah,
so
you're rolling. You're probably over 2 Gs now.
All right.
We got to get lift stats on it.
Okay, because are you involved in the picks that I make?
I'm involved. Yeah, so what we do is on our podcast, Over Under 985, we give these things called PPs. People laugh about it, but they're called podcast plays.
Mm-hmm.
So we give about 10 or 11 a show, and that's what we use for Fred's picks.
Yeah. One of the two when you're 7-2, unfortunately, was my bet.
That was Dan.
I want one that you guys can both agree on every week, but you can't do
that. But that's not the way the game is played. It's a long, it's a marathon, baby. It ain't a sprint.
It is true.
You got to cover all your bases.
And the one thing that yesterday's bet, because I was thinking that you guys were onto something. I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe this Ravens. Because I had the Texans plus 3, I think it was.
Plus 4.5.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, Texans are a good team, and who knows, someone will figure out this Ravens team. And then yesterday, it was just like, statement.
I'm sure we'll get into it later, but there was a pass interference call that I think really did change the game.
Dude, it was like 41-7.
No. This was like 0-0 at the time.
But still, I mean, can you change a game that much to make it 41-7?
I'll tell you, they would have put them up 7-0, and it would have been a different story.
I just think that one team is way better than the other right now.
One team might be the best team in football.
Yeah. No, the Ravens are. And as I said, yesterday, I knew they were good when they played the Patriots, obviously. But yesterday was a statement game. To steamroll a very good team like Houston and to stifle Deshaun Watson. Like, I mean, their defense, you know, everyone's talking about Lamar Jackson, but what that defense of the Ravens is able to do to just make Deshaun Watson look like he was, you know, Josh Allen was impressive.
Yeah.
He was shaking the whole game.
Not the, I'll tell you this, Lamar Jackson, not the best quarterback yesterday in the NFL.
That would be Jimmy Garoppolo.
That would not be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo had as many as Sammy D, but I think more yards.
Well, it doesn't matter. That was a ball control game at the end. They were trying new things. They were doing exotic blitzes at the end.
You could basically dance backwards against the Washington Redskins right now. You could literally play not facing the end zone.
Redskins were favored yesterday, and a lot of the money was on Washington.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, laugh all you want. If you had him as your fantasy quarterback, I'll tell you what, you were doing okay.
He was my fantasy quarterback. I had Aaron Rodgers as my starter, but he had a bye week, so Sammy D was my backup, so I did okay.
Yeah, you did great. He threw literally one bad pass. He made one mental mistake in that entire game. Watched it from tip to tail. Made one mental mistake in that game. It was a bad one. But then from then on, woo-wee.
Speaking of bad quarterbacks, Sunday Night Football, if you guys stayed up for it, Goff was terrible but did throw a touchdown late. But they took out Mitch Trubisky.
With 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
And they were already down by like, well, I mean, they were going to lose the game, right? It was like they were down by 10 with 2 minutes left, right? And why would you do that? Now, what happened was immediately after he was taken out, and there's a video of Coach Nagy talking to him. So you can honestly tell that that's the moment he's like, hey, we're putting Cody Kessler in.
Chase Daniel,
that's right. How dare I get those two mixed up? And so he ends up going into game, but then immediately after that happened, the Bears put out a statement that Trubisky was out with a hip injury. Is that what it was? Like, sure. Like when we had all just seen on TV, well, if you watch the game, Nagy come and basically tell him he was being benched. So, like, where was the injury? It was just a catastrophe for the Bears yesterday. And I don't know why you would do that, why you would pull him out of a game with 2 minutes left when you're already out of it, when you're not going to win.
They'd had enough. They said, that's it. That's it, young man. This is the start of the Missouri quarterback. This is the start of the Chase Daniel career backup.
Yeah, he won on Thanksgiving last year. I had that bet. I'm a Chase Daniel fan. Like, I actually think they should have never gone back to Trubisky. And now their season's over, and if you really want to look at it, that Khalil Mack trade, like, it's not going to work out. It's actually going to work out for the Raiders in the long run.
Raiders are good.
Yes.
They're right out of there. They could possibly make the playoffs.
Yeah, of course they can. They're playing well, and there's a little bit of a – I mean, Derek Carr, if you just look at him specifically, how he's played this season, there's a little bit of a renaissance. Yeah. And you know what? And a lot of people, including myself, laughed at the decision to get John Gruden in there. But listen to all the players, and they love the guy. They love John Gruden. And John Gruden, every time that they win, he goes up to the black hole and high fives. But they're like my type of guys. I feel like one of them, he always says.
I don't know if you probably didn't watch the Jet game, but there was Robbie Anderson. He jumps into the crowd to give a kid the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a highlight? Did anyone show this? And then the Raiders and the Redskins fan takes it and hides it. He takes it, literally takes it from a child. And to that, I would say, what is that ball worth? A stupid Robbie Anderson touchdown?
Well, that's like whenever like an adult takes a ball away from a kid or something in a baseball game.
Yeah, but
like,
at least you caught it. Like, at least you caught it.
Yeah.
Like, in a baseball game, you did an athletic feat. You caught the ball with your hand.
Hmm.
But if Robbie Anderson jumps into the crowd and he's handing the ball to someone and you just steal it and then take it away, I've always been of the mind that I wouldn't do it myself, but if you catch a foul ball, that's your ball.
I mean, sure, but if there's like a kid next to you who wants it, just give it to him.
I probably would, but I would not begrudge someone for keeping the ball. I mean, you caught it, and it very rare.
Yeah, I caught two foul balls before.
Okay,
I kept one and gave one to a kid.
Yeah, see, I have not caught a foul ball, and I've been at many baseball games. I've never even had one close to me.
Really?
Not even one close
to me. Wow.
And but if I caught it and I made a good grab, I might keep it. That's not my responsibility to give it to a kid.
Yeah, but you give it to your kid, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I was with my kid, yeah.
But even if you weren't, you'd probably give it to him, right?
Oh, yeah. I give it to my kid, yeah. That's a good point. But one of my kids, yeah. But the idea that you did nothing, Robbie Anderson just jumped into the crowd to give the ball to a child. You didn't catch it. You snagged it away.
Was this a situation where somebody from the team came and gave him a ball? Because they've done that before when you've seen like a kid.
Sure. There was no follow-up.
I was going to say, was there tampering of the football? I don't know. $7,000 fine, though, if you throw a ball into the stands or give a ball away in the stands.
Well, it's worth every penny. Well,
Cam Newton's played a lot of fines. Is that what they do every touchdown? They give it to a kid, every single one?
Yeah, I have a feeling they might let that slide. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Well, let's talk about that Patriots game where, believe it or not, the defense, they did it again. They saved the day for a struggling offense.
All right, we will return.
You're listening to the home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
You like poking them.
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Touch your screw, Rich.
I'm getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
And Rich, what happened last night?
The Patriots D saves the day once again.
Wentz takes the snap. Final play barring a penalty. Wentz moves up, starts to feel some pressure. He's hit as he throws it deep downfield. That ball is going to be batted down the 5-yard line to end the game in Philadelphia.
Nice effort.
And the Patriots will prevail after falling behind.
Well, that just kind of cut off like that. Well,
that was the call of when the homeboy should have caught that pass?
No, that was the final pass of the game.
I thought it was the fourth down pass.
Nope. That was the final play of the game.
What was the one that hit the guy in the hands?
Would it be this one right here?
Ertz aligned to the left. Goddard in the right slot in between Aguilar and Matthews. Sanders to the left of Wentz. Patriots blitz. Are going to send the blitz. Matthews off. Wentz off the back foot. Throws to the end zone for Aguilar. He's open.
No,
in the back of the end zone. He can't hold on. Ball knocked incomplete. J.C. Jackson recovering.
I actually thought that was a pretty good play by J.C. Jackson. Yeah.
Well, no, I thought the throw.
Yeah, it was a great throw.
Catch and everything. I mean, mm-hmm. that stuff usually goes against the Patriots in those type of situations.
Yeah, I don't know how defensive that factored into it. That just seemed like he got twisted around.
I think he made a pretty good play on the ball, though.
Yeah, I think though. The way that he tried to catch it, the way that he was defending it made him fall.
Yeah.
Well, after taking a one-game hiatus against the Ravens, the elite Patriots defense was back as they do all the heavy lifting in last night's win over the Eagles. After the Eagles drove 95 yards down the field and got into the end zone in the first, that was the last time they would put any points on the board as the Patriots D locked down and didn't let the Eagles score on their next eight possessions.
Wentz takes the snap against a four-man rush with a twist up front. He pumps and he spins with the ball. Knocked loose by Shelton. Fumble on the turf. Patriots try to recover. They do.
Yeah!
Lawrence Guy in the middle of the pile comes away with it.
Attaboy,
another
Wentz.
Turnover forced by the Patriots.
Hang on to a little longer there.
Inside Philly's 25.
Hang on there longer, Wentz. All day, man.
Is that the clip that you thought that Scott Zolak had money on the game?
No, it's the was that the Lawrence Guy turnover right there?
That was it right there.
He had this yeah.
That was it.
I was sitting here and I'm like, geez, this guy's got more money in the game than me.
Well, when they put when they couldn't get it in, when Edelman dropped the pass and there was a pick, there was a ball that should have been intercepted in the end zone. Yeah, Zolak went insane and then had to couch it. He was like, "I'm just saying it because I really like the team."
he did say that, and then they didn't run the ball once. They threw the ball three times on the 5 yard line.
Yeah, he got pissed about that too. He's like, "Run it four times." Run it four times.
There was some weird third down play calling yesterday. I remember there being one situation where it was third and seven, and it was a handoff to James White, and he got 4 yards, and that was it.
They couldn't throw screens yesterday. The Eagles were all over it.
Yeah.
They could not run.
No, Brady played poorly. They can't run the ball. That's
the offensive line, though. Mark Newhouse, I think, is done. It's time. Hopefully, Wynn is back next week. I don't know what next week against the Cowboys. The Cowboys have the best offensive line in football. They're going to push the Patriots D line all around. They have a hell of a defensive line as well. I saw the spread already. Patriots are 6.5 point favorites. I think the Cowboys get a shot next week. If they play like they played yesterday, the Patriots, they're going to have trouble winning games the rest of the year.
Yes. I mean, they can't run the ball, and Brady is all over the place. I mean, let's not pretend that Brady's a elite quarterback anymore.
Well, the Pats finished with 5 sacks, a forced fumble, and held the Eagles to 255 yards, which is impressive seeing that 90 of those yards were on that first drive. And then there was the offense who really couldn't get into a rhythm. As you were saying, Brady was skittish. He was constantly throwing the ball away. Hopefully when Isaiah Wynn returns this week, you're going to have a better offensive line that will help things. But the day's one impressive play is one that Brady will almost get no credit for.
White to the right of Brady, off his hip. Edelman motions into the backfield, and then motions out to the right. Brady
pass.
Throws it to him. It's a lateral. Edelman's looking to throw. Under pressure. To the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Razzle-dazzle, baby.
Ah,
and then Dorsett just destroyed the minute he caught that ball. Holy moly.
Well, that was the old Edelman TD pass. Tale as old as time. Maybe he'll make another T-shirt out of that.
I hate gimmick plays. They tried them earlier, and then that one worked. So it's
they needed to
really, plays. Do you really hate giving plays now?
I got to tell you that Romo called it. I mean, Romo called it. And he only did yesterday, to my knowledge, only one.
Yeah, no, he's gotten a lot better. He actually has.
He only did it on the Ertz touchdown, which was obviously a touchdown. But when he was, it was and it was the only one he did that to.
Well, outside of that, the Patriots converted just 5 of 16 third down plays. They were off on the red zone, and guys like Jacoby Myers were running the wrong routes, and even Edelman was cursed with several important drops. But in the end, the team gets a win, but that doesn't mean that Tom Brady is happy. As a matter of fact, this may be the most depressed Tom Brady has been after a win that I have ever seen. Just to put things in perspective, here is Tom Brady's weird and very brief press conference last night in its entirety.
From one quarterback to the other, I'd be curious to your thoughts on Julian.
He made a great throw. That was a great play. Yeah, we needed it. Not just thoughts about the struggle that you're having in the red zone. I know it's one of those things you don't like to take three ever. You had to take three pretty much the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any more. I don't know.
Tom, how is there any way to remedy it? Is it just about just practicing and execution?
Yeah, I think that's right. Practice execution.
Tom, how would you describe the offense at this point in the year?
Up and down. That's what it looks like to me. So, yeah, we probably do everything better.
How would you describe your defense?
They're doing a great job. Doing keep us in every game.
Tom, I'm pretty discouraged right now. A little different than you guys just won.
Yeah. Well, we just played for 3 hours, so I think everyone's a little tired.
Tom, you've had games like this before in the unit over the years. When you get games like this where everybody kind of fights and fights in battle like this, how essential a game like this, even as many of you guys have had, when it comes this late in the season, it'll be the 8th or 9th or 10th of the year, how good a game like this will be?
Yeah, it's good to win. It's good to win. Go on the road and win is always tough. So they all count the same. But anytime we go on the road and beat a good team is a good feeling.
Are you concerned about the offense, or you feel like it's something that's going to work its way out?
I don't think it matters what I think. It matters what we do.
How much does Julian remind you of this passer thing?
Not much. It was a good throw. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, they gave him a little joke there with the Edelman thing. Now, Joe Murray, I'll ask you, because you are a stick, you watched all of these games. You were 7-2 last week. Is this Brady realizing?
This is Goff Brady.
Is this Brady going, oh, boy?
Yeah, I think he realizes his receivers suck and the offensive line's terrible.
Well, I think he doesn't have an excuse with his receivers because there's plenty of people that would like Sanu and Edelman.
Sanu's slow. I'm sorry. He even sucks as a punt returner.
He sucks as a punt returner. I don't know why he's returning punts. But you don't think that there's a part of Brady that goes, okay, this is not easy anymore?
Yeah. Well, he said that earlier in the year. He actually said that in one of his press conferences that, you know, he at his age, he doesn't want to have to deal with things anymore.
Yeah.
Like N'Keal Harry, like, he threw the ball to him 3 times. He caught him all, every one of them. But yet, you know, there was a play where they completely rolled out. They snapped the ball. The whole line just went student body right. And Brady just had to kind of run away to throw it out of bounds just to get the hell out of there. Like, they're designing plays now where Brady can't sit in the pocket anymore. Like, they're just trying to get off the field to let the defense stop and kill time. But I will say this, as much as Brady sounded terrible yesterday, but I think Belichick loved it.
Well, that's what I was about to say, because despite Tom Brady being moody loose buttons.
Well, okay.
Belichick comes out there.
Well, first of all, Belichick, during the week, gave a thesis on his time in Philadelphia and how much the city has meant to him in a football way. But he likes that Brady's struggling.
I think there's something to that, and I was thinking about it because the times that Bill Belichick has been strangely in a good mood have been these rock fights. Like, think about the Bills game. After the Bills game, he was about as happy as you've seen him, and that was a game where Brady was struggling, the offense was struggling, but the defense came to play. There was one other game that was like that as well that I'm having a hard time remembering, but I need to go back through. But I mean, like, the 3 times that Bill's been in the best mood have been on games like this. And now, in this case,
how bad does he want to win with Brady not playing well?
This is more evidence keeps mounting up every single week that Brady's not happy here and that Belichick wants to do it without Brady. That's all I was thinking about when I saw these two press conferences.
I don't necessarily know if there's something there. Don't get me wrong. But Belichick did go up to Brady after the game and like, yeah, good job, man. Like, he actually like congratulated Brady.
And he was being facetious.
Maybe it was, but like, it was the Browns game that you're talking about because it was so sloppy and they pulled it out. But like yesterday, I agree with you. There's something there between Brady, and it's always been there. But I do think that Belichick knows he needs Brady to win.
Listen to Belichick here. First of all, is he taking a shot at Lane Johnson in this clip?
Look like I had a lot of fun out there today, and I'm gonna play with a lot of good energy. So it's good to come down here and get a win.
Yeah, all right. So that was Lane, by the way, after the Super Bowl, said that unlike the Patriots, the Eagles are having fun. Would Bill hold on to a grudge 2 years only to be passive-aggressive at his post-game press conference years later? Well, of course he would. He was even joking about Julian Edelman and his little pass.
Hey, man, Chris, bro. That's a great play. there. We needed it.
That's not it right there. That's Brett. Here he is. This is Belichick.
Yeah, good read on the play. You know, check the crosser, was open. You know, we had another option on the play, but going to make a good decision. You know, keeps his quarterback rating up there pretty high. I'm sure we'll have to ice his shoulder down this week and massage it and everything else.
Was it a Shecky Belichick up there?
Yeah, he's having fun.
He's cracking jokes.
He's like, hey, I like it. I don't make sure I'm talking about that. He's like, Edelman throws our touchdown.
It's true.
There's something to it where Brady struggles and the defense is excellent and they win. Look, he has the best time at his postgame press conference.
He better get used to it.
Because it sounds like, does it sound to you like Brady is enjoying himself this season?
No.
There's been seasons where
he's not playing well.
And it's not even that, Fred. It's like I've seen him be upset after games. Like, this is the most beaten down I've seen him after wins.
I think that he realizes that it's not all there anymore. I think that he realizes that after every game that it's not there anymore. And you can give every excuse in the book, but I've seen plenty of quarterbacks under worse lines and with less weapons have success.
See, I don't think Brady's thinking that way. I think he's thinking, why won't they give me what I need?
See, I don't know.
I think in his head, that's what he's thinking.
No, I think
I'm the best.
Antonio Brown, gone.
Yep. Why won't they give me?
Well,
look
he's
at
not
this.
The best. What? I mean, he's not the best. He's not a top five quarterback anymore.
Well, I mean, I think he thinks the reason is because they haven't done anything to fortify the offensive line. They haven't given him the pieces that he needed in the offseason. They could have made some moves for wide receiver. They didn't do it. And I believe in his head. And Fred, I believe you're right. I think that he should be playing better despite all of that.
Right.
But I think that in his head, he believes that.
Yeah. Okay. I also think that even if it's not conscience, if it might be subliminal, that he realizes that the gild is off the rose.
When we get back after Joe Murray's headlines, rather.
Now, Wallach is. There was a group text, and I made a joke, and then the group text stopped. You know.
Did you send a meme? Or?
He's doing good, by the way. The surgery went well. 10 hours. 10 hours.
Well, that's why I made the joke, because everything had gone well. And then it just stopped dead in its tracks. Weren't fans.
I have a feeling expecting a ha-ha from the wife of a guy who just had brain surgery.
Well, she gave you
probably
a ha-ha.
Because what I said was awesome.
Yeah, it was just great. All right, what's coming up?
Okay,
right?
So this is something that it didn't get a lot of attention yesterday. But it should. There might have been shenanigans during yesterday's Eagles game. And there might have only been one person who noticed it, and that person is Scott Zolak.
Oh, shenanigans in the air. Mm-hmm. We will find out. Here are the headlines.
Why are you waking me up now?
It's TNR on 98.5 The Sports.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, you're saying there was some shenanigans yesterday?
Maybe a little bit of a conspiracy that needs to be explored. So yesterday during the first quarter, I was in my car listening to Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. And when Tom Brady came in for the Patriots' first series, it sounded really loud in the car. Like, wow, the boos there. These Eagles fans, they really hate Tom Brady and it seems super loud. And then Scott Zolak makes an observation that I found kind of interesting.
Tom Brady making his third appearance at the Link 2-0 at the stadium.
Nice boo to welcome him.
Five takes to the interception. It's a Philadelphia greeting.
That's respect. Sounds like noise is being pumped in, doesn't it?
Got a little louder there, didn't it?
That just got turned up.
Oh! Two receivers left Edelman in the slot. Sanu on the outside.
And by the way, it didn't end there. So for the rest of the series, Zolak's like, okay, we have a speaker right in front of us, and I'm hearing crowd noise being pumped in through the speaker right now and being put into, like, and being broadcast right now all over the arena. Didn't the Falcons get in big trouble for that? They got fined a draft pick and ended up getting, like, fined a ton of money for that. And I know the Colts were accused of it, but I think they got away with it because there was that video that had the skipping on television, and they said that that was more of an NBC thing than it was an actual Colts thing. But I think the Falcons actually got in trouble for pumping in crowd noise.
2013-14, they got fined $350,000 and lost a fifth-round draft pick.
So this right here, this bump that you hear isn't any editing we did. And if you are actually, like, the broadcast for the game is just one microphone that is miking up. Like, they didn't all of a sudden do something back in the studio to make the crowd noise go up. Listen to this jump in crowd noise here.
Tom Brady making his third appearance at the Link 2-0 at this stadium.
Nice boo to welcome him.
Five touchdowns to interception to Philadelphia greeting.
That's respect.
Right there.
Like noise is being pumped in, doesn't it?
I mean, right there, you can hear a very audible jump in volume.
Sounds like a vuvuzela. Like at a soccer game.
The vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
Or a vuvuzela, whatever I call it. Sounds like something out of a...
They're pumping it in, though.
Right, like the Dr. Seuss thing. But that
they
is...
were prevalent in the Jersey Shore the final season before they took their hiatus.
The vuvuzels?
Yep. They were... Paulie D used them when he went, "Oh, yeah, time to get up. Oh, yeah." And then he would play the vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
The vuvuvuvu. The vuvuvela.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm Brady, I don't like that. I'm like, stop booing me already. Stop giving me the business.
Yeah. So
I'm just out here trying to suck.
You were saying something about how they put Stephon Gilmore and Zach Ertz, and, you know, Ertz was, you know, the
killed him
because that happened. So yesterday, and you don't hear Stephon Gilmore do this that often. I'm trying to find audio of it, but he said to a reporter, I think it might have been Ben Volen who reported this. He said that Gilmore just now talking about Zach Ertz said he was crying. He do that on film a lot.
Yes, I saw that.
Says Ertz is a great receiver, but someone who could be frustrated. So, like, Gilmore was saying that Zach Ertz was crying when he was on the field.
Now, okay, because I read that, too. Now, is he legitimately, like, crying?
Like, is that a term that I don't quite understand?
Or is he, like, crying to the officials? Like, I find it hard to believe that he's, like, physically, like, you know, like, breaking down. Like, he just watched... the terms of endearment. I think crying to the officials, but I thought the same thing. I was like, is he crying?
Right. Are there tears coming out of his eyes? Or is this like another term for just like whining?
I'm guessing it's whining. I hope it's crying.
From what I'm reading, they said that they saw him crying on film in past games. Oh. And
yes. I don't even know if he means, like, crying to the refs. Because I'm with Fred. I mean, maybe that's what he meant. But, I mean, when you read the quote, it's he's accusing him of actually crying.
He says if he didn't get the ball or didn't get a call, he always cries after the whistle. So maybe it's more about complaining than...
Well, he would have a lot of emotional problems. He was literally crying. When was the last time you cried?
Oh, my God.
Jeez. I mean, so if you're crying on a regular basis, then you got something wrong with you.
That is strange. Well, when we get back, here we go again with Rob Gronkowski.
He's just wants his name in that news.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will be back with that in just a moment.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Zone.
Five, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but that Edelman touchdown pass had to have been pre-planned because immediately after the game ended, he puts out a shirt with him throwing the pass.
No, that was my joke. I was saying he's probably going to make another T-shirt about it. He made that shirt after the Ravens game a couple of years ago when they were down by a bunch.
The pass.
Yeah. And I bet
he comes out with the pass two last night.
Oh, he came out with
so,
the pass
two? So it's not that same shirt?
No. It's a new one. it shows him posing with the ball. It's the exact pass from last night.
Dude, that was a joke I made, and he actually did it?
Yep.
Yeah, there should be something where you lose your driver's license if you buy that.
All right, so I'm looking at it. It says time to ice the old wing after that one, and it's got a picture of the old one, the pass. So I think it's still, it says the pass two on the shirt. I don't see that anywhere.
Well, listen, I don't doubt it. You gave me some website, Jim Murray, and I'm trying to watch live snooker.
Joe,
and I'm trying to watch live snooker, and it's asking me for a membership.
Maybe I'll have to get over there. I don't do the membership stuff. That might be one of the pop-ups I was telling you.
I'm
doing it.
Trying to watch snooker.
Well, here we go again. Rob Gronkowski popped up on Instagram to do what? Tease another huge announcement.
Gronk Nation, I have a big announcement to make. I can't wait to drop it on all y'all this coming Tuesday. It's going to be fun. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a good time. Come check out my Instagram page this Tuesday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, to hear the news. Let's go.
And then moments after that, Gronk posted on his Facebook page an old post of Brady's that shows Brady blowing into a conch shell saying, "Patriots receivers assemble," to which Gronk added, "Tom Brady, do you think this thing still works?" Dude, he's not coming back. And if he's going to come back, that's not how he's going to announce it.
Listen, you should try to become an insular influencer at Fred Tutcher on Instagram. Maybe you could try to take a page out of my book.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be some other, you know, it's probably that James Corden show. That he's going to officially announce. What's it called? Game On, I think.
Game On. Oh, look, I love women.
What else could it be?
I mean, something that's not him returning.
If he
was returning, that would have been leaked out. And you're gonna hear about it first from Adam Schefter. He'll be the first one to tweet out that Rob Gronkowski will be returning. I know everyone's freaking out, and Rob Gronkowski's taking complete advantage of the fact that the 30th is the last possible day that he can return. So we're right there near the deadline, and that's why he keeps throwing this out there. There's no reason to believe that he's coming back, and this is the way he's doing it.
I want sweets. I'm James Corden. Tickle, tickle.
The one thing we can say about this, however, is that at least the news will break during our show, which never happens.
Grab my hiney.
I don't know if I want to grab his hiney.
Well, I'm James Corden. Yay! And I wish for sweets.
He does love sweets. You can tell. Not a very girlish foot.
Uh-oh, here goes my foot. I have to chop it off from diabetes.
Let's just hypothetically, we don't think it's going to happen. Let's hypothetically say Gronk's coming back. Does this, like, make Brady happy?
Yes. Hell yeah, it makes him happier. Just, you know what, not even for the receiving aspect of it, just blocking. They could really use him right now on that offensive line.
I'd like
line.
To see him try to block a defensive end at this point.
The weight means nothing.
You're the guy that thinks that, because I have not heard someone else make that statement.
Doesn't matter. Guy's a beast.
Yeah, he's huge. And he's still, he's a great offensive mind. I mean, say that about, you joke about Rob Gronkowski being somewhat dumb, but everyone says the same thing. On the football field, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's also, he's been one of the best blocking tight ends in the league ever since he's been in the NFL.
Chop 50 pounds off that.
Okay,
we'll see
he hasn't played in, 8 months?
No, if I'm a defensive, if I'm an offensive tackle and I lose 80 pounds... That's going to, or 40 pounds, that's going to affect me a little bit.
I get what you're saying, but I don't think if he was to play, they probably would have like Matt Lacoste and other guys in those situations.
So he would be a slot receiver.
He'd be a pass catcher.
Okay. Well, it would be probably more frustrating to Brady as he would be unable to get him the ball.
Well, the problem is all the Patriots do is throw screens or to the outside.
Yes.
And whenever they go to the middle, it's an Edelman pass. Oh, yesterday, Ben Watson actually caught a pass over the middle of the field. Like, that's the problem. It's either screen left, screen right, run for 2 yards, down the sideline. Like, it's all figured out. Like, the Eagles suck on defense. They're not a good defense. That's why I think next week against Dallas, like, we all watch the Cowboys every week. We think they're frauds, whatever. That they have enough talent to beat the Patriots. Now, I don't think it will happen because it's at New England. Like, if this was in Dallas, I'd say it's a different thing. But I don't know what you guys think about Brady at this point, but his attitude sucks. He's starting to become, like, unlikable. Yeah, this is like that greatest quarterback. We all loved him for years. Like, he's becoming unlikable.
This is the just most sour I've seen him.
Where would you rank him in the pantheon of quarterbacks this year?
He's still top 10. He's just he's just not
top 10.
Like skill, like where's the skill? Like the skill's all in his brain.
Right.
You know what
he
I
just
mean?
Reads defenses and puts people in the right positions. Right. But he's a top 10
but
quarterback.
The whole moving him in the pocket thing, like that makes no sense.
No.
The guy stands still and throws the football.
Right.
The whole him moving in the pocket, like, I don't know what McDaniels is doing. Is he trying to get, like, a mobile quarterback, like, in there for the future and making plans up? Like,
maybe he feels he can't get rid of the ball as fast as he used to and that he has to buy that extra half second. Because, I mean, Tom Brady's not impressive. Nor has he been impressive, to my knowledge, this year. So, and they can't run the ball. Which, by the way, if Brady was more effective, they could run the ball. At least a little bit. It would help a little bit if you knew what was going on.
I think they need a fullback.
You're right.
But the loss of Devlin is huge on this team. Every other team in the league that has a fullback does well and can run the football.
Yeah, I know, but it's just such
They're putting a Landon Roberts, a backup middle linebacker,
I know.
As their fullback.
I know.
It's a joke.
I know. It's kind of an antiquated position, but they need it. Absolutely.
If we're looking at the positive here, it's been back-to-back games. They've been down 17-0 and have come back a little bit. And then yesterday, down 10-0. They need to get off to better starts, and usually they become front runners. I don't want to call the Patriots front runners, but when they get off to a big lead, that's when things work best for them.
And Lawrence Guy was very good yesterday, but he has that Las Vegas tattoo that bothers me every time I see it. It's welcome to Vegas. I don't like that.
Did you get one of those T-shirts? I'm going next week, by the way. 2 weeks.
2 weeks, that's right.
Are you going to gamble?
Am I going to Vegas? Yeah, I'm going to Vegas.
I just thought you might be going to see the shows.
Yeah, that's where I'm going, yeah.
Penn and Teller and the like.
Celine Dion.
I've got a fine hotel for you to stay at. It's called the Excalibur.
And every hour they have something magical happen. And a wizard appears above a fountain.
They have a nightly buffet.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's called the Nightly Buffet.
Do they have, like, a guy with, like, a sword cutting up meat?
Oh, you should see the ads. It's, like, all of these, like, knights, like, with their goblets sitting amongst the commoners eating at the Nightly
Buffet. Is it like that Budweiser commercial? Like, you know
but there's but there's no irony. There's no humor. It's like, dudes love knights. Let's all stay at the Excalibur.
Bertrand had his bachelor party at the Excalibur.
Did they LARP? I mean, that sounds like
I mean, just
cool.
All the hotels and everything you could have done, and you booked the Excalibur.
And it's not like you can't find other affordable hotels in Las Vegas. I mean, they're everywhere.
No, there's too many. I mean, like, they can't fill them. So, yeah, to stay at the Excalibur, yeah, there's deals because there's a million rooms in Las Vegas. I mean, they can't fill them all.
You got to do the $20 sandwich.
I'll do it.
You know, that's where you stick the $20 between your license and your credit card, and you give it to the person at the front desk. They'll upgrade you.
You know what I watched on a Saturday that is not a bad film is Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he asks, first of all, that's like an all-star cast, like of minor roles, like T.J. Miller, Nick Kroll, Aziz Ansari. The woman from the office that was the receptionist after Pam, there's like all these guys, and when he goes up and he asks for the name heroin to the guy at the front desk, then they go out and the guy gets shot. But nonetheless, that's my advice to you is if you want heroin, is to go to the front desk and ask for a guy named Heroin. All right, Rich, we have the headlines coming up. What will we discuss?
Well, let's discuss. I mean, did you want to continue with this Brady stuff?
Well,
because it's fairly interesting.
We can talk about Brady. I'll talk about Brady all day.
Because, I mean, there is a trend. And if you take a look at how he acted last night after a win and how Belichick acted, this is a strange pattern. I've never seen him more joyless during a winning season than he is this season.
And I'm calling BS on his not having weapons. They have two first-round picks at skill positions on that offense.
There was a play yesterday where Myers and Harry were wide open in the middle of the field, and he decided to just throw it to Dorsett over his head.
Yep. So, and yeah, that's another guy. Dorsett's not, it was a first round pick too. So if you want to take all the first round picks, there you go. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.